Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to the latest episode of Behind the Glass. You join me, your host Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass, and this week's guest, Mr. Archie Hamilton from Archie Hamilton Racing fame. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
You are returning to Behind the Glass because you did feature on a previous episode which was non-video format.
Yeah,
it was audio only.
I was one of the first.
You were one of the first. We went in deep to your life story. Archie cried about three times. It was pretty hardcore. Today, I hope it's going to be a little bit more lighthearted.
Yeah, hopefully.
You join us in a very mysterious location, a location that we cannot discuss. You cannot see much more of. There's a bookshelf. It's very, very echoey. It's very bright. But it's a lovely place.
It is. Thank you.
I'm glad you could join me here.
I'll be here.
So if you are watching us on the YouTube channel, hello. Welcome. If you have not subscribed to this channel yet, make sure you do, because plenty of episodes still to come. We're actually putting out an episode every single week. Archie won't always be here, but it's a pleasure to have him this week. If you are listening to us, you can follow on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass and iTunes podcast by searching Behind the Glass. That's always the lovely bit of housekeeping admin that I like to do at the beginning. I want to kick things off with some hugely exciting news. You've bought a Lamborghini.
I have. What have I done?
What have you done?
Now, I do feel like over the last year, 2-3 years that you've had a YouTube channel, we've had a lot of dream cars, or you've had a lot of dream cars. Where does the Lamborghini rate on your scale of dream cars?
Everyone says that in the comments. You're going to make a lot of dreams.
Yeah. Every week, this is my dream car. No, wait, that's my dream car.
Okay, so where did this start? Because I missed this whole chapter, basically.
Yeah.
I remember you saying that you're thinking about selling the R8 and then suddenly you bought a Lambo. So please divulge.
So obviously, as you, well, a lot of people are aware, Paul Wallace stormed in on my rap when I wanted. He texted you telling what
yes,
was going on.
Yes, so you had an R8 V10 Plus that was, at the time, what colour was it? It was blue?
Originally blue, Ara blue.
Which is
probably the colour which no one should rap.
Yeah. And
I was like, I'm going to tell.
It was a beautiful colour, fantastic spec.
Then I went purple chrome.
You went purple chrome, which was controversial to say the least. But that summarises your YouTube channel well.
Yeah, that does summarise it. If you haven't seen it, that's
pretty much it. It's controversial.
And then I wanted to sort of tone it down a bit because it wasn't sort of, people just didn't like it. And then I thought, you know what? I've messed up the last rap. Why don't Dub Customs take control of this one? So I was like, you know what? Take control.
So you said, I want to change the rap. I don't want the purple anymore. But Dub Customs, who are a vinyl wrapping company, amongst other things, you just said, there you go, you choose.
You choose and take control. And Paul Wallace was there on the day. And
he
snaked me, basically, and he wrapped it pink. So anyone that hasn't seen it, it was pink and it was like a matte pink. And it, you know what? It did actually look good.
It looked really good. It actually looked super Japan Tokyo spec.
The problem was driving on the road. Okay. And my lip... I kept getting stuck in petrol stations and all sorts.
I can imagine. Getting out of a bright pink R8 was probably...
Yeah, it was pretty full on.
So rather than going, I know what, I'll just change the wrap because it's a vinyl wrap, you thought, I know what, I'll sell the car.
No, that wasn't how it was.
That's
literally what people thought. You know what, I'm going to sell it. I took it to Dub Customs to be stripped to go back to blue.
Right.
And I'd already filmed half of that video of dropping it off to then finish it off when it was fully finished off. Midway through them de-wrapping it, Dean from Redline called me up and he's like, someone wants to buy your car. Exactly that. They want, like, the fact it's got a Quicksilver exhaust on it and all of this.
Wow.
Do you want to sell it? Here it is. Boom.
Oh.
And that is how the car suddenly got sold.
And it was just a moment where you were like, offer too good, or you'd kind of feel like you'd done what you wanted to do with the R8?
I felt I got to the end of the R8's life in terms of on my channel. It was sort of, yeah, dying off a little bit. I think people were like, are you going to rap it again? Or yeah. What's next?
What's next?
We've done the cycle of exhaust raps and we've done, you know, to five things I hate. I think it's going to go.
You missed the five things I love. We never had the five things I love.
So I got to the point, yeah, where I was just like, the R8 market at the moment is very unpredictable. Okay. And me and Paul have spoken about this a fair few times, that R8s, for people who haven't owned one in their lifetime, and I'm lucky enough to have, they're dropping. You can get an R8 for sort of low 90s now.
It's crazy.
Which is crazy.
A value for money is insane.
Yeah.
Insane. But you, I assume, had bought for slightly more than
a lot more.
90s.
A lot more.
So you were like, oh, I need to get out of this ship quickly. It is sinking hard. I'm on the Titanic and Jack is not here to save me.
I am going down.
Okay.
I thought,
there's an offer on the table.
I still lost money on the car. Obviously, you're going to, but it could be damage limitation if I get out now.
Okay.
So the offer was there and I took it. And then I was thinking, what next?
And this is what I want to get into, actually, before you go on a run. So yes, just to recap, for anyone who is unfamiliar with Archie, Archie and I have known each other now for a couple of years. We first met where he helped me pass my National B race license, ARDS racing license, whatever it was. It was a race license things, because Archie's background is in motorsport and racing. He is or was a racing driver.
Was.
We'll get onto that as well. And is now a pro YouTuber. So yeah, you just had a little summary of the last 6 months on his channel with his Audi R8, and you have very quickly then transitioned into this new Lamborghini. So you had this unexpected offer, and you suddenly had sold the car that you were sort of, you know, was your flagship car on the channel. What did you think to do next?
The thing I did next was I spoke to Dean and I was like, where do we go from here? And I'd spoken about, well, to you and all my audience on the channel, and that was that a 458 is the dream car.
Sick.
It's a sick car. We know it's a good car, but I think I spoke to them and we found that the 458 market is very much plateaued out. And you've got to be just very careful in terms of servicing with the Ferrari warranty, etc. One wrong move and that car's not going to move. And then,
well, the biggest thing which I learned about Ferrari is that you really should try and either buy through a Ferrari dealer or find a car that has immaculate service history. Because in terms of future value, now my car doesn't quite qualify because there's a 360, I never got the service pack. But 458, those cars were sold with amazing service packs and warranty plans. And if you buy a car that doesn't have either of those, you will not be able to sell it. Like you might be able to find a cheap 458 for 130 grand and go, this is sick.
Yeah.
You will not be able to get rid of it because no one wants a 458 that doesn't have the service or the warranty pack. It's a very dangerous place to get into. And a lot of people don't see that. They just think, oh, go and buy a 458. Yeah. But when you're spending 150 plus thousand pounds, you have to think about these things.
Yeah.
So you freaked yourself out a little bit, or you sort of...
I freaked out.
Yeah. I did the same thing.
Because I actually text you.
Yeah.
And we were speaking, and you were just saying, you've got to be so careful. So I was like, where do I go next from here? And it was a very tricky one. And I obviously knew that the Huracan fundamentally underneath is an R8. But
you've literally bought the same car.
I've just gone
in a different
car.
Yeah.
The comment section will tell you exactly that. But
you like the R8. So.
Yeah, I just love the package. I just thought, what an amazing bit of kit.
Yeah.
No, so I thought it could be a step up in terms of... The R8 obviously is a supercar. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, I'm well aware of that. But it's more the fact of a Lamborghini is a Lamborghini, and it could be a good place to jump into, because when I was talking to Dean at Redline, he was just saying how Huracans, the value has stayed up there for 2 years, the same.
Yeah,
150, 160 grand.
Rock solid.
And we know we're investing in depreciating assets, which we finance. I'm the first to admit it, and you are as well. And you want your money to be somewhere safe. And I thought, if I can get in a Huracan at a good price, it's safe to get at.
Because safer.
We know cars are. And when I got that Huracan, Redline that week had four Huracans and sold four in a week.
Wow.
So it does show you the market. They're in demand.
And I think as well, I mean, you'll find out very soon, and we'd love to have you back to hear, but I think it'll be a very different ownership experience because you're right. The R8 is, I think, a dream supercar for many people, and it's an amazing, amazing thing, but it still has that Audi badge. Mm. Whilst the Huracan is a Lamborghini, and whilst the driving experience might be similar,
it's a lot worse. Yeah. going in the club, all the things that you like to do, waving keys in girls' faces.
Yeah. Triple keys.
Saying you've got a Lamborghini is it's a different mindset.
Yeah, it is.
And so I think, and that's what I'll be, as I say, let's have you back in 3 months before you sell it.
It'll be sold before then. No, I'm joking. That's a joke. It's not going to be sold before then.
I think it would be great to find out whether you do find it different or whether in 3, 4, 5 months' time you're actually a little bit bored because it feels too similar. But I think it'll be the...
I think with my channel, I like doing crazy stuff. We'll get on to the fact that I do plan on... I don't want to chrome wrap that car. But it's more the fact of you can have fun in terms of modifications of it. And we've got ideas of body kits and all sorts. So I felt with a 458 getting it, obviously it's a lot of money and whatever, but anything you do to it, it's such a well-known and respected car. Not saying Lamborghini isn't, but I think...
Well, the big thing with the 458, which I've always found funny, is Ferrari and Enzo Ferrari in particular... never wanted to put a wing on any of his road cars. If you look back and think of all the road cars that Ferrari ever released,
so true.
With the exception of the F40 and the F50, they've never had a wing. And even then, the F40 and F50 is kind of built within the car.
That's so true.
So it's very hard with the 458 to, I think, firstly, aesthetically improve
it. Can you imagine
it?
I just put a big wing
put
on the back?
Massive GT wing on it.
Guys, I've got a big wing.
Screw you, Enzo. You're dead, bro.
But anyway, okay, well, look, what I want to do for anyone that hasn't been watching your channel, quickly talk us through what else you were considering, because I don't imagine you went straight to the Huracan, because it's a big move. Yeah. What else was on the table? We disregarded 458. Did you look at Bentleys?
No, McLaren.
Ah.
Okay, so on to this one. McLaren 570 was, I think that was the only proper option. There, like Porsche GT3, yes, but a couple of other YouTubers now got them. It would be oversaturated content straight away.
Hard to get rid of as well.
Hard to get rid of, and the new GT3.
Sorry, hard to get hold of. Hard to get rid of. It's the easiest car in the world to get rid of. But.
Well, if you, yeah, it depends on how cheap you get into it. If you get into it at sort of list money, you're gonna get in. You're gonna get rid of it straight away.
Yeah.
If you jump in it at what they were,
180,
175, then we've got an issue on our hands. So yeah, there was McLaren 570 because those prices are now 130.
So this was a preloaded
McLaren.
Question. I did actually know.
McLaren. We
I did
McLaren.
Actually know that Archie was considering a McLaren because it was the
540.
Other thing. Hello. That you texted me about, because weirdly we were just joking before we started recording this podcast. Our narratives or our storylines of finding our next cars over the last couple of years have been very similar. We start off going, we want 458s. Oh, we shouldn't buy. We can't afford 458s.
Why am I not buying 458s?
What else should we get? Let's consider McLarens. I actually bought one. You ended up buying a Lamborghini. Yeah. Now, I am shocked to the core that 570s are now down at 130.
Do you know what they are in the trade?
110? Yeah. Okay, so when I had the 540C... I think I bought that car for 140.
Yeah.
And that was considered a good deal as a brand new car. And 570s were up at 160. And that
some more,
was...
Some more.
Oh, more. That was the cheapest one. In my mind, I was like, I'm $20,000 saving. I have to go 540. A lot of people were like, why didn't you just spend the extra money and get
a
570?
A lot of people said to you as well, why didn't you get a 570?
Yeah, it was $20,000 more.
Yeah.
But now, a year basically later, I bought the 540C January last year, 130/110 in the trade for I can't believe how they've dropped value.
And the other day I was looking on Piston Heads and I saw, well, this is when I was looking for cars, and it came up, the 540 one was just sold 114.
What?
So imagine that in the trade, that's under 100 grand, isn't it?
That is madness. And that, we were talking about the R8 being value for money. McLaren 570S at under 130 grand is insane value for money.
Doors going up. There we go.
So what put you off that idea?
Totally unknown market.
Okay.
I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
In terms of future values.
Future values. It's just a totally unknown market in terms of... You just think, I don't know what I'm doing here. In terms of the Huracan, for me, was just safer money. McLaren, obviously, it would have been probably a good step because it's different. It's not the same car.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, but it's, for me, it was more, I mean, they could drop $10,000 tomorrow.
Well, the interesting thing is this week, There's not been a lot of car news since Geneva, which is why Archie and I are having a little bit more of a live chat. There's not a lot to talk about, but here he is just banging his £10 million watch on the table. One bit of car news that did come out was that McLaren launched a limited edition 570 GT. So there's 100 units. It's called the 570 GT Black or Black Edition. It looks stunning. It's essentially a 570 GT painted black. I'm not sure.
Anyway. I wonder what. Yeah, that's it.
It's got the Sport pack on it. So it's a 570 GT that performs like a 570S, which I think is the dream because I think the GT is the better looking car, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But it's a car that you could spec independently. A bit like a Cayman or 911 GTS. You could go through and tick all the options and create the same car.
Yeah.
But this is McLaren doing it for you and theoretically giving you a better price. But because it's limited to 100 units, they're sort of trying to create, I think, a premium there. But all in all, it just ruins the market. Like, it just ruins the market because existing 520 GT owners are suddenly not the limited edition cars. And do those limited cars have an added value realistically? All it is spec. There's nothing else there but spec. So it is a dangerous place to be, and I understand your concerns.
I think for me as well. Sorry, Nidra.
No, please.
I think for me, it was more the fact of we know how many cars. I'm not going to sit here and sort of slag off McLaren. That's not the part of the. A new car could come out next week.
Yes, but which is so exciting. Like, there's parts of me that love what McLaren do because they're constantly stepping forward and constantly redeveloping. And as I say, I love the look of that 570 GT. Yeah. I think it's awesome. But they're it's a strange car to own because you're buying them at over 150 grand and a year later they could be worth 100. And there are plenty of cars out there doing that, but it's a scary place to be if you're not a very rich guy. And we are not very rich people.
We
borrow a lot of money from the bank and that's about it. We live life close to the edge.
Yeah, I think in our situation as well, same as you, when you're getting the Ferrari, you want to know that you've kind of got safe. Obviously, you've got to meet these monthly payments. But apart from that, you want to know you've got safe kind of thing.
I think the biggest thing from our side is that we do change our cars within a 6 to 12 month period.
Yeah.
We just have to be realistic. Every time I think we buy cars, we always go, yeah, it's a keeper. I typically have this like a year, 18 months. We never do. We have to be realistic with that. And so therefore, if you're getting a car that in 6 months time is going to lose 30 to 50 thousand pounds, you're in trouble.
You're in big trouble.
So that's why you've got to be a little bit sensible.
That makes me feel sick. When you think of it like that, I'm literally just
50,000 pounds in.
Whereas luckily, hopefully, if the hurricane market has been the last 2 years, no, my luck is going to drop 100 grand tomorrow.
And can I just be really boring? And we really should have the guys from Magnitude here to help explain this. And that is that finance special is coming your way. But just to clarify why that depreciation is so hideous when you're financing is that let's assume you're buying a 150,000 pound car.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're putting £50,000 deposit in and you're paying it off per month. That means you've borrowed Actually, let's say it's a smaller deposit. Let's say you've put in a £20,000 deposit. So you've borrowed 130 grand and you're paying it back at 1,500 quid a month. If in 6 months' time that car has dropped value by 50 grand, you are going to be in huge negative equity. That's the risk that you take. And we put a lot of miles on our cars. And if you're getting a car that's going to drop anyway, you will in 6 months' time go, oh, cool, I want to change. I want to get a new car. And it'll be like, right, well, you owe 20 grand to clear your finance. So that means you've paid, you've lost your deposit of 20, you've paid 1,500 quid a month for 6 months, and you owe 20 to clear finance. You're in a lot of trouble. That needs to be explained a little bit better. And as I say, in the financing episode, we will get into those details with more precise figures, but I just wanted
to... We both use magnitude.
Oh my God, put that watch away. It's too big.
Yeah, no, they do. And it was you that recommended me. So
yeah, of course. I recommend them to everyone. Okay, well, let's move on quickly away from the cars that you have bought or nearly bought and talk about Geneva because we were both there, but we didn't see each other.
We didn't. You filmed me in the distance filming? Yeah, classic vlogging.
I did film you from
Why
the
distance. I didn't buy a McLaren? Why I didn't buy a Ferrari?
What were your takeaways? What were your favorite cars? What did you see? What did you like?
I'm going to put it out. I was fairly disappointed with Geneva this year.
Yeah, I'm sort of with you there, but try anyway, and find some positives.
the Rimac C2 looks very cool because I did drive the Concept 1.
Of course.
And I did think that was a very cool bit of kit. So I would like to drive that at some point.
If you haven't seen, when Archie mentioned he drove the Concept 1, that was really the video that kicked off your channel. And we talked about a lot in our previous episode when you were on before. It was the Concept 1 versus the LaFerrari, which kind of like set your channel on fire.
Yeah, fire.
Fire.
I went viral, baby.
So let's hope we get a C2 versus Huracan video coming soon. Yeah.
The Huracan going backwards.
That would be amazing.
No. So the Concept 1 is an interesting car. When I drove it, I felt there was a few things that would... The driving position was you were very hunched in there. And it was but it was incredible. And it was, you know, like four-wheel drive like that. Or
mad experience.
Amazing thing. And Matej Rimac, who has created the whole thing, is like our age, which is scary. And he employs like 450 people.
Yeah,
like,
we're doing something seriously wrong. Yeah, thank you.
incredible bit of kit. So I think that was very cool. I'd like to look into that more. Obviously, GT3 RS looks very cool. Apart from that, I don't think the Huracan Performante Spider did anything for me.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way, and I spoke about it. Me and Tony did a Geneva special podcast, and that was the thing. There was a lot of sort of stuff we'd already seen, not a lot that was like wow, and I didn't walk out of there going I really want this, apart from the Pista and arguably the GT3 RS. I'd have the RS in a heartbeat.
Yes.
But I just wanted to see if there was anything else that stood out to you aside from
I think the C2 for me was the standout piece of the show. But in terms of what was launched last year, there's a lot more. Wasn't there a lot more kind of hype?
It felt like it.
I don't know whether it was just me.
Yeah, no,
but
I think it felt like last year
was more. This year was just a bit sort of toned
subdued.
Down.
Subdued. Yeah, I'm with you there.
Well, you turned up 4 days late, so maybe.
Everyone got out of sleep like a zombie. Hey guys, what's up?
Yeah, classic.
I'm here to film. Goodbye. season is about to begin. We are a week away. Have you been keeping track? Any thoughts on Formula One?
I think the biggest thing for me, I follow it a lot, not as much as you in terms of...
I'm an F1 super fan, I don't know if you know. Hello.
Halo, that's a big thing, isn't
it? That's a big thing. Good show.
I wanted to ask you about this. What do you think?
Yeah, I hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But as a driver, as a racing ex-racing driver, what are your thoughts?
Well, for me, it was more the fact of what's visibility like. And I tell you what, I recently, Lando Norris, who's the test driver for McLaren, I spoke to him the other day. My friend, by the way.
Name drop.
He says you can't see it when you're driving.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
Do you know how he explained it?
Go on.
If you stare at your nose, you know your nose is there. If you don't, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
So okay.
I can see that.
But if you stare down at it, you will see it.
But you look past it, basically.
Apparently, yeah, really weird.
Did he say anything about getting in and out of the car, though?
No.
Mm.
That's the problem.
So that's the feedback that I got when I went to Barcelona, was that a lot of the drivers were struggling to get in and out, and that they've... You know the mandatory 5 seconds to get out of a single seat? It's now 10.
Oh, right.
So like, it's a bit like, well, how does that make sense? Mm. To get in and out of the car is a bit more...
Well, I think it comes down... It obviously comes down to safety, doesn't it? In terms of... And I have you seen the tests on YouTube when they fly wheels at them?
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's pretty nuts.
But then I go back to... I like the fact that racing is dangerous.
Mm.
And I think that is the cool... I think Nico Hülkenberg was the one who was really against Halo. And he did say multiple times... it's what is so appealing about this sport is that we're in danger.
Yeah, part of the thrill, right?
And yeah,
it's a bit gladiatorial like that, but it's part of the thrill.
Part of the thrill. So I think now, obviously, it's a bit of a shame. But then you look at MotoGP. I mean,
bloody hell! I mean, they need more than a halo. Yeah,
Isle of Man TT and MotoGP, and it's just a bit like, really. Come on! I mean, how many? I don't think it would have saved Jules Bianchi.
That's the question, isn't it? And I think that's what they're reacting to. But if you look at some of those accidents, you've got to think, would it have actually saved them? But it's so hard to know. What a freak accident that was.
Wait, I think they're all freak accidents, aren't they? I think
they're all freak accidents.
It's all about, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it's bad news. But if it's what it's going to be, we're going to have to get used to it. I think
absolutely.
That's the simple thing.
Any hopes? Do you want anyone to succeed this year? Are you keeping an eye on anyone?
I know you want to succeed.
Leclerc?
I know who you want to succeed, Lewis.
DM me, Lewis. Someone's
getting excited. Who do I want to do? I'd love to see Red Bull winning races.
Nice.
Properly,
yeah. Because you're still doing some work with Tag. Why?
Doing some stuff with Tag.
You're
yeah,
a big sponsor of Red Bull, so you're flying that flag. Hello. Intriguing.
So yeah, I went to Monaco with them last year. Hopefully I'll get invited back. Probably won't.
Good luck.
No, so hopefully I'll get invited back there. And yeah, I would love to see Red Bull winning.
Okay.
It'd be nice to see that again.
Any preference of driver? Because I know you did a video with Verstappen, right?
Oh. Yeah. Do you remember?
Hello, I remember.
That was quite cool. Yeah, I'd like to see him winning.
Okay.
You know what? He was so good on that simulator.
Of course. He's a child and actual Formula 1
driver.
But
you know, like, I was on that. I had a couple of laps just before just to sort of warm myself up. And I thought I was on it.
Yeah. Nope.
He didn't. So basically, it was a track.
Wait, just talk through the video. Because
okay, so basically, Esso and myself and Mobile One.
Hashtag ad.
Yep. We partnered up.
And, you
hashtag. And we did this video. And it was seeing how fit you are, if you're fit enough to be a Formula 1 driver.
Okay.
With these tests. And then Max Verstappen was going to turn up at the end. And I was going to go head-to-head with him in the simulator. It was a random track for both of us. So I had like two laps more than what he had.
Okay.
That's a little bit fair when you're doing Formula 1 for a year.
Sure.
Couple of years. And so I did it and I was like, yeah, this is going well.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I think I'm going to be close to Max. He jumped in. I was like, holy, yeah, he's good.
On it.
Just you know when someone says,
and a computer game though.
Yeah, but he's just got it. Mm. In the end, I think I was like, I can't even remember the video. I think I was 2 seconds, 1.5, not too far off.
Okay, not too far.
Yeah, I think I'm ready.
Let's see what that'll be like in real life. But yeah.
It'll be 10 seconds in real life. He's good.
But see, I'm a Ricardo guy.
Yeah, I remember
him lurking up in the video.
I was quicker than him.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, that's video
title.
It's
not a great sign.
No.
But I would prefer him to be successful. Because I think Verstappen's got plenty of time to be successful.
He does. I think it's one of those things. I think Red Bull, it'd be nice to see them winning again. If I'm going to put my money on anything, I think Ferrari are going to be the team to beat.
Oh, mate, you're so wrong there. You've missed
really?
Oh, do your research. Who then? Do your research.
Really?
Mercedes are unbeatable again.
No, they're
followed
not.
Followed by Red Bull.
Vettel got the fastest time.
Do you even analyze testing?
Hypersoft.
Hypersoft. Literally, hashtag Hypersoft. Literally, hashtag our cars are like quakes. Let's bottle some
you
Hypersoft.
You were there.
Yes, of course I was there. Ferrari. Saw your life out, Ferrari.
Really? Who's
Mercedes the team to beat, mate?
Are they?
Oh, my God. Like, Mercedes the team to beat. I think then Red Bull, then Ferrari, then get ready for this, Haas.
Really?
Haas F1, I reckon, and then McLaren and Renault.
Really?
Got mate.
It's actually my dad. Hello.
What's going on?
We should get him on the podcast.
So yeah, that's my controversial prediction is Haas. It should be good. Are you going to be going to any races?
Monaco. See you there. I'll be on the tag boat. You'll be
of course. I'll be a pigeon in the stand.
You'll be a pigeon.
Okay, now people understand that meaning.
Tweeting away. Yeah. Yeah, so I think I'm going to do Silverstone and Monaco. I think the ones out. I'd love to go to...
That's the same as me.
Yeah, no, so I mean, it'll be interesting to see how... you know what? I can't even picture them all on the starting grid of all halos.
Yeah.
On.
The biggest thing is you can't see the helmets. That's... Oh, this is getting into an F1 rant now.
Yeah.
It's a shame.
It's a shame. We'll see. I mean, like, yeah. We'll, okay. Like, Haas, really?
Yeah, it's my big prediction. Because do you remember when Super Aguri got that Honda car and they were really good one year? Because they basically got Honda's car from the year before.
Right.
It's basically that. Haas have essentially got Ferrari's car from last year. essentially.
Really?
Yeah. So they're freaking good.
Renault?
Yeah, then Renault and McLaren, I think, will be close behind. I think the team who's going to struggle this year are Force India. I think they'll be good, but I think they're going to struggle to keep fourth place because I think Renault, McLaren and Haas have taken a big leap forward.
And do you think that Toro Rosso, they've been not bad?
Really reliable, but I don't think they've got the speed, personally.
Really reliable. We wouldn't be saying that a year ago.
No, mad, right?
I'd like to see them do well.
I would love to see them do well.
I mean, Sauber's...
Unfortunately, Sauber, I think, are going to be the runners-up this year. Well, not the runners-up.
If we flip the grid upside down, they'll be doing very well.
They're going to be right at the back. That's what I meant to say. No. But yeah, it's exciting. A week to go. Can't wait for that. You're going to be watching live, recorded.
You'll
Australian
be watching
Grand Prix.
It live, won't
of course,
I'm watching
won't
it live.
Okay, fair enough. It's actually a 7 a.m. race start or 6 a.m. race start.
That's not too bad.
Not too bad. Because they've changed all the race start times. But anyway, I won't text you.
You'll be texting Paul Wallace. You'll
be
on a group.
That's so amazing.
It was when Formula One's on. It's you're either in the car, you're live streaming it, you pull over. What does your girlfriend think at this point?
No, she quite enjoys it. She gets a bit pissed off, but she quite enjoys it.
Darling, we're going to have to...
When we first started dating, I said, you can't come over on Sundays. She's like, why? I was like, Formula One.
I'm amazed it worked.
Yeah, she's like, oh, I can just sit there and watch. I was like, no, you can't be around me. I need total silence.
Well, fair play.
Don't even breathe.
No.
Okay, well, look, I mean, it's been a bit of a random week because there's not been a lot to talk about. Is there anything you want to... The floor is yours. You can ask anything. You can say anything. You can bring up a topic of any topic. You don't have to.
How's your Ferrari?
Oh, mate, you know what? Really good. I picked it up this week. First time to have taken it on a proper drive for maybe a month or so ago. I want to get it oiled up and lubed up, ready for road trip season in April.
Very exciting time, that. It is exciting. Yeah.
I think I've got a solution for the exhaust before April.
Right, so you're going to make it a lot louder?
Well, I'm going to...
To come.
Hashtag exclusive.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that I really wanted the Challenge Stradale upgrades to my car, the wheels and the exhaust. The exhaust is one of the hardest things to find in the world. A Challenge Stradale exhaust is very hard to find.
You've got a bit of a task in hand, whereas me, I'd be like, oh, what exhaust?
Just bolt anything
on.
So, because I don't think it's going to be able... I don't think I'm going to find a Stradale exhaust before April, which is when the obviously going to take the car into Europe.
Yeah.
I think I might have found a solution... A short-term solution.
Soon come to SDG.
Soon come. But otherwise,
exciting.
The car's good. A few little niggles that needs to get ironed out beforehand. It seems to like to just throw out warning signs for jokes, for banter. Like, sometimes I just turn it on, it goes, ah! Oh, no, joking. Car's fine. Have fun.
What do you think, though, at that point? Do you take everyone into account?
No, I've got used to it now. So the other day, I was driving it, totally fine, got to a traffic light, was sitting there for a while at the traffic lights, and then pulled away. And as I pulled away, like, every light went, and I was like, car's about to catch fire, and then it went, ah, no, you keep going.
I joke.
You can you revved a little hard. I freaked out. I'm sorry.
What I do want to know is, obviously, you did sell the McLaren and you jumped into that.
The Ferrari is more reliable than the McLaren.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Really?
Yeah, absolute fact. I've done 3,500 miles in the Ferrari. I did 7 in the McLaren. And I've definitely had less issues in the Ferrari. Realistically, the only issue I've had in the Ferrari is a rogue engine light that no one can explain. It affects nothing.
And it comes up all the time.
Yeah, they think it came down to spark plugs, but it wasn't. Ignition coils. They assumed it was ignition coils, so they changed them all, but they were like, it's not really an issue. Mm. It doesn't come up all the time, but every now and again it comes on, and there's no reason. That's the only problem I've had.
I tell you what, supercars, people think they don't run faultlessly.
No, they're like, it's Italian cars.
Yeah.
I know you are Lamborghini's German, but it's essentially Italian.
Essentially.
Yeah, the parts that could go wrong are Italian.
you know what's actually quite odd is that with the R8, I think I had nothing at all.
Okay.
I'm already experiencing little things soon to come, but Christ.
Welcome to Italy.
And you know, the next thing when I'm thinking about is, if I want to get this fixed, this is not cheap.
Yeah, we're both going to be broken down by the side of the road in Monaco
somewhere.
So I was
like, hey Dean, R8 still for sale?
How are those Turbo S's looking?
I want the Audi badge. Oh, this one's God. Not quite working out. It's the same
God.
Car.
Yeah, classic Italiano.
Back to the old one. Anyway.
It's part and process of owning these cars.
Yeah, exactly. And okay. even today... I mean, like, you're in your Porsche, I'm in a Fiat 500, which has been lent to me.
A bath. A Don't bath. Call it a Fiat 500. That's the word, like, literally.
No, sorry, you I'm going to get destroyed there.
Literally put a dagger to the heart of every
Abarthy. Do you know why I
said
that? Because I was just seeing my dad, and he won't know what an Abarth is. Okay. He's very, what's a bloody Abarth?
He should do. They used to have classic Abarths. Classic rally
It was easier to explain.
Fine.
Especially to my mum as well.
To Fiat 500.
Yeah. And the bath. I've been lent. I actually have had a lot of fun
it's
driving to see
you. It's a Series 4 595 Competizione, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know much about cars.
Yeah. No, but not a lot about baths either. But
No, it's a lot of fun. A lot of... it's an experience. It's got a titanium exhaust.
Okay.
It pops and bangs. I have the worst back pain ever.
Yeah, it's hard ride, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Hello.
Looks good, though.
It looks good. Anyway.
Okay, well, look, we've hit our time quota.
Well done.
We've had technical issues. We've gone off topic. We've come up with new topics whilst recording, but it's been fun.
Yeah, it's always fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming back.
I'm loving these podcasts. I hope people are as well, because
I really appreciate it.
It's educating me. Obviously, this one won't be educating me.
No, but, I hope not.
But you're actually listen to me in my car, and I sit there listening.
That's very
kind. I love them. Keep
Well, thank you very much. Very and cool. It's great to have you back. If you didn't hear our first episode that we recorded, it is available audio only on soundcloud.com/seenthroughglass or on iTunes podcast to search Behind the Glass. And as I say, it was much more in depth into who Archie is, where he's come from, and how he's ended up being a YouTuber. I hope you've enjoyed today's episode. As I say, make sure you're subscribing to the YouTube channel if you're watching us. Turn on notifications so that you know every week when the episode comes out. It's usually Sunday evenings, but sometimes we run over a little bit late.
Because you get the Monday morning commuters.
Monday morning commuters, but yeah, usually sometimes the schedule throws me off. But yeah, really appreciate it. If you want to check out Archie's channel, just search Archie Hamilton on YouTube. He's on all the other platforms as well. Don't follow him on Twitter because he's very inactive. Thank you for watching us. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening. We'll catch up with you very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.